Jason Segura, the Notorious B.I.C. Vic Carucci, and the Dog Bowl in Berea, wrapping up what has been a very, very content-rich first hour. So now it's time to hear from you with some barks from the Dog Pound. Let's start things off with Don in Olmsted Township. Don, welcome to CBD.
Hi. You guys have been talking about quarterbacks, so my comments should be pretty apropos. If I understand it correctly, there's an abundance of pretty decent quarterbacks coming up in the 2014 draft. Nobody like Oliver Luck by any chance, but good quarterback.
Oliver can play.
Yes. I'm
I
just hoping,
Andrew, but that's okay. Yeah.
I'm just hoping that the Browns don't take their two picks and move up further in the draft to get a number one pick when they can get a good quarterback with the number one and get a wide receiver with their other number one pick. And then they have eight picks left whereby they can probably go for defensive backs, a running back, even an offensive lineman. And this might sound goofy, but I would say even pick one more quarterback in the late rounds because you never know who you're going to wind up with. You know, Kenny Anderson came from an obscure school, and I think in Illinois, and wound up great being with the Bengals. And the same thing with the Patriots. They're guys.
Tony Romo as well.
Yeah. No, that's not crazy to think about two quarterbacks throughout the, from top to bottom, that second one being a later on pick. You saw the Washington Redskins do what they did.
Exactly.
Kirk Cousins after taking RG3, and that's an asset for them that they're free to use for a lot of different things, not the least of which could be a trade if he doesn't end up playing anytime soon, and it doesn't look like that'll be the case. But I like your points. Yeah, for the most part, it is a quarterback-rich draft. And yes, for the most part, our thoughts are running in parallel worlds right now. We're looking at this 3-3 season. We're certainly focused on a lot of the struggles of Brandon Whedon and saying that the good times might roll after May. And that's a hard concept to wrap your mind around because you still look at the calendar. It's October. There's still a lot of games left, and you want to see progress, and there's got to be progress. And I think in the areas that we've discussed about younger players learning the game more, those are all positive things and real good reasons to watch this team closely because the continued development of the Josh Gordons and Jordan Camerons are going to make that newcomer quarterback, whoever that guy is, who will quarterback this team in 2014 beyond, that much better.
Absolutely, and you know, there it is a quarterback-rich draft, depending on whose grading system you go by. There are at least 6 to 8 quarterbacks with first-round grades for this year. So it's a good draft for the Cleveland Browns to be addressing this position at this time. And I think it was a very good point that the caller made, that there isn't anybody at this moment who seems to be jumping out and separating himself like Andrew Luck or RG3. I'm not sure there's anybody of that level, no. But there certainly are guys who are going to be very, very good in this draft class. All right, let's go to one of our favorite callers, Cherokee Ray, on the line. What's up, Cherokee?
How you guys doing today? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
You know, we got an offensive line. I went on game rewind, so I'd hope you give me a little time here.
All right.
We got an offensive line that can be real mean and nasty. We got Joe Thomas. It could be every bit of Gene Hickerson. And we got Greco. He's not Shackraft the Mule yet, but he's close. And we got Alex Mack right there. Now, I watched when they did that trap, when the whole offensive line blocked right, and Joe Thomas took two guys out to the left. That's when Benjamin got that big run. And then I'm watching the other plays on the coach's plate. There's Joe Thomas standing all by himself over 6 or 7 times. Now, that's coaching. That ain't players. That's coaching. Okay. There's a problem there. And I love Chud. I'm glad they got Chudzinski. I'm glad they got him because I think he's going to be great. But if he makes the same mistake Schumer did last year, where he decides it's going to be pass first and not run, and don't change and say run first and then a pass is going to come, I'm afraid we're going to be the same place we was last year. By the way, a prediction. We beat KC by 24.
Wow. Wow, you said a mouthful there. We appreciate the call.
Turkey, wait, has, Ray was growling.
And you went in a couple of different directions there, but you questioned the coaching philosophy. I know you were saying, you know, don't get off on the too far down the road of throw first and to be too pass happy and forget about the running game. And I do think there's a little bit of a pulling back from that. Look, the league trend, the success in the NFL, the blueprint is clear. You win in this league by throwing it and by having an explosive, high-scoring offense. That's what the best teams in the league generally are defined by. And you know, it's not just the Denver Broncos thing. I mean, that's the Patriots. Just go down the list. Okay, Saints. That said, this particular offense with this particular quarterback going through the particular struggles that they're having right now and may continue to have needs a little bit of a reset. And you do need to kind of bring it back to the basics. So I think that's where running the football, and if we're reading Rob Chudzinski right in what he was saying, I think they're going to implement more of that balance.
Yeah, and they're going to certainly try to. That's exactly what they need to do, is try to establish that run. It might not be easy to do so, especially this week and then next week against Kansas City. Kansas City right now, the best defense in the NFL in terms of getting to the quarterback. They're good against the run. They generate that. They're playing better than anybody in the league. So it's going to be a tough two-week stretch, but hopefully you can establish some kind of an identity, because I think that's part of the problem. As a Browns fan, and maybe even part of the problem with the team, you go into the game and you don't really know what your identity is. You don't know. It's not a spread them out, throw it every play like the Saints or you know, the Denver Broncos to set up the run, because you certainly at this point don't appear to have the pieces in place to be that offense. You're also at the same time not a run-oriented team that uses that to set up play action and hit big plays there. There isn't one thing yet that the Browns do with great effect, other than right now throw the ball to Josh Gordon and at times throw the ball to Jordan Cameron. Other than that, there's not anything that you can hang your hat on for this Cleveland Browns team.
To the point of coaching, and specifically he was talking about the offensive line, I'd have to look at that a little further. It sounds like you did spend some time studying it, and I'll grant you that, Cherokee Ray, that you felt very strongly that there are some cleaning up that needs to be done there. And I won't dispute that there could be some issues there, but I think if you talk to the offensive linemen, they generally feel that they're in good hands with George Warhop, with Mike Sullivan as the offensive line coaches. Warhop obviously has a little more history with this particular group, but Sully was here before as well, and he knows Joe Thomas and others. But you talk to like an Alex Mack, and I had the opportunity to chat with him today. He feels they are getting good guidance, and that the coaching has done a nice job in light of some very difficult circumstances, especially at that right guard position where you had the injuries, where you had O'Neal Cousins in there for a while before Sean Laval came back. And now, you know, the Jason Pinkston return is another big point to make, because we'll see if that affects any other rotation. John Greco's had some struggles at the left guard position. Do you do anything there to just get Pinkston in a rotation? Maybe that's needed, because I think the guard play on this football team needs a lot of work. And it's not just some of it you just say, well, you have to live with what you got in talent, but some of it can also come from coaching. And again, I'm not in as full an agreement as you are as saying that the coaching is lacking in that particular O-line area.
Yeah, and that's the struggle. Right now, you look at the team, you know Joe Thomas is going to, you know, bring his lunch pail and get the job done. Alex Mack is playing pretty well. The guards right now are struggling a little bit. And Greco's gotten better, though. I would say that Greco's early season struggles are, he's at least trending in the right direction for me, from what I've seen from him. You get Laval back. He's come in, and he's been better than O'Neal Cousins, but he's also been struggling as well. And that's the tough thing, right? Because the interior of the line doesn't get the attention that it necessarily should, and it is an important part of the running game, especially when you're a team with a guy like Willis McGahee, who's not going to be able to run so effectively around the edges on tosses and sweeps and stretch plays. That doesn't suit his skills. He's a guy who's going to run it up between the tackles and get it done. And to run up between tackles, you need some maulers at the guard positions, of guys who are nasty and angry.
What do you need?
And you need some honkers to get in there, like Evan Mathis in Philadelphia, you know, some guys like that. Ben Grubbs, some serious mahonkers. So it is.
He made the comparison to, I think, Dick Schaffraff, some great linemen of the past. And again, I love the perspective that someone who's followed this team for a long time can give to it. I don't know that I'm ready to go there with some of these guys. Joe Thomas is in a place of his own, but as far as like some of the interior linemen. But anyway.
hopefully they can get it better. We will be back with hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic and I will talk with Gerard Cherry. We'll go inside the locker room with Dequell Jackson. We'll play some more sound from Rob Chudzinski. Asked about Brandon Weeden. Asked some tough questions, a matter of fact, about the state of this team, which I thought was very interesting. We'll get into all of that and more when Nathan Zagura, that's me, and the man, Vic Carucci, returns here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Grab your guns, your shadow weighs a ton. Driving down the